Dan. I had a bit of a tough time picking a text this week. It's been a rough week. But when I open this up, and it's a very familiar text, chapter 11 of Hebrews, and a lot of times, or many times, it's called the chapter of faith. And it's something that, as this life goes on, as Gary mentioned and as I mentioned, boy, things are getting tough. The intelligence of mankind seems to be sinking lower and lower. And looking at it from that perspective, boy, faith is something that we need to cling to. I looked up this morning in a couple of places about faith. It's kind of interesting. Merriam-Webster, the dictionary, which is not known for being particularly religious, I guess, if you might say. But they described faith as being, they defines faith as belief and trust in and loyalty to God. The term faith and trust can be used together, and they are used in Scripture all the time. And it's almost impossible to separate them. Because if you have faith, you trust. You trust in what God has done. Another thing that I read, it said that faith is inseparable from trust. It's a confidence that God can and will do what he says in his word. You can't separate them. But the faith that we have, as it says in the first verse of this chapter, now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Or we might even say that the faith is the assurance that each and every one of us has that God is still here, that God has not gone away, and what he says is true. So it is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction, the evidence, the conviction of things not seen. If we're convicted of something, we could go to one side and say if we're convicted of sin, then we have to repent of it. And it's something that bothers us until we do. But if there is a conviction of something that we understand to be true, then it's something that is almost to the point of unshakable. It's to the point of it is ours. And we believe it and we trust in it. And that is how we view God. And that is how we view his understanding, his teaching, and all that he would have us to know and to learn. So I'd like to read, actually, the first, I think it's 13 verses of this 11th chapter. Yeah. For the 13 verses of chapter 11, and beginning with verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also, Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithfully who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Amen. Let's humble our hearts in prayer. Almighty God, Father, we know that these are your words. We know, Father, that the term faith is something that each and every one of us have to have. And Father, we know that you would give to us abundantly in that way. So Lord, we ask this morning that you would speak to us. And Father, that we would be encouraged. Our hearts would be filled and with joy, knowing that indeed you have our interest at heart. Lord, we thank you and ask you for all things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we've already mentioned, faith is indeed the substance or the evidence of things hoped for, and the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. But then in verse 2, he says, "For by it the elders obtain a good report." He's talking about all of those that were before the time of Christ. He's talking about the elders who walked upon the face of this earth, who trusted in God, and who listened to him when he spoke. Because that's the way a lot of communication took place in the early days. God spoke to people. And then as time went on, then the prophets and those who were the teachers of God's children, they came along after, then that was after Moses had delivered the Ten Commandments. The elders obtained a good report because they believed, they had faith, they understood. And that's what we need even this morning. We need to know, we need to understand that God is so good, God is so righteous, and we need to have that full report, and we can only get that through faith in him. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. In other words, what he's saying is that there was nothing here. Because there happened to be a mountain over there, God didn't use that mountain to make it appear to be something that it's not. God didn't use that mountain to make it something or move it to a different spot. It wasn't that way. There was nothing here. God spoke it into existence. We read the first chapter of Genesis and start there and read on through. There was nothing here. God, for the human mind to understand it, it just makes no sense. God spoke it into being. God spoke it and it occurred. God said it and it happened. And that's the way this earth was formed and made. I was reading something this last week, talking about how the young people of this in the world, or the young people who are going to school, are getting this false teaching just thrown at them daily, just crammed at them, and this is the way it was, this is the way it is, and you have to believe it this way because anything else is false. No, God's word is not false. And that's why it's so important for us as grandparents, for us as parents, to make sure that the kids know the difference, to make sure that there is another way. It's not what the secular world, it's not what the schools would want to teach. It is what God says in this book. That's what's important. That's what it has to be done. So by faith Abel was offered up unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Abel offered up a sacrifice that was not of his own, but it was something that God had made for him through the earth and the plantings, and basically Abel was a farmer. But it's not the fact that he offered up something that was better. It's not the fact that he offered up something that was larger or more impressive. But the simple fact was is that he offered it and gave God the glory for it. And that's the difference. It doesn't matter what the sacrifice is. It doesn't matter what we want to give or what our gifts are. That is not important. It's where does the glory belong? And it belongs to our Heavenly Father, because he's the one that gave it to us. He's the one that endowed us with it. Never, we should never forget that. We should never forget the fact that it is God who provides everything. I remember years ago, my father-in-law, I asked him, or he told me, he said, if a person should ever come up to you and tell you that you did a good job, regardless of what it is, doesn't matter, not important, always say, thanks be to God. Because indeed, that's what it is. It's not anything that we have done, but it is the gift that God has given us. And that's the way it needs to be. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is. We don't know who God is unless we believe it. We don't know what God has done for us unless we believe that he is. And that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And that reward is not anything physical. That reward is something that is far more precious. That reward is something far more important. It is eternal salvation. Eternal salvation, so that one day we will be with him. That is the reward that God has us. He will give us gifts to do things. He will give us gifts to understand things. He will give us gifts to speak things. But those are something outside of this. He is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Seek him for their salvation. Then he goes on, and by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, which by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. I've always been interested, I guess, to put it mildly, about the story of Noah. I know I've mentioned it before, but bear with me, please. The things that were going on the earth at that time were just awful. God's children were taking people outside of faith as being mates, whether it was male or female. The things that were going on this earth were just becoming more and more wretched. The things that were going on this earth were becoming more and more false and false teachings, kind of what we're seeing today. So God goes to Noah and he tells him, he says, I want you to build a boat. Now, having been in a construction background, and most of us have been here as a rule, I've always been impressed by not only the size of this thing, but also the building practices that were required to build it. And Noah did that. Noah made it exactly as God told him to, made it out of the material that God told him to make it out of. But he did all of these things moved with fear. Now, it wasn't a thing that he was afraid of. He wasn't afraid to do what God wanted him to do. He wasn't afraid to take on the task. But he was more afraid of not obeying God. And that's the way it should be in our lives. Not a fear, not a fear of, I don't know what to do or anything. But if God gives you a task, do it. Don't be afraid of it. He was more afraid of not obeying God than he was of the teasing, the rebuking, the laughing, and all the things that the world did while he was building this thing. And he did it to the saving of his house, because there was only his house or his household that was saved when it was all said and done. God condemned the world at that time, and Noah was the only one. Noah and his family were the only ones of the heir to the righteousness. In the first part of this text, it says that they're warned of God of things not seen as yet. And this is kind of another, kind of a curve, if you will. The world was not watered by rain at that time. At that time, it was watered from within. So you can imagine what happened when it started raining. You can imagine what happened when people started seeing this water falling from the sky, never having seen it before. He prepared that ark, and God closed the door. Because that's the way it is when everything ends. That's the way it's going to be when he finally says about this earth, that's enough, I'm done, it's finished. And he'll shut that door. And there will not be anybody being able to open it. Although there may be many that are pounding on it, trying to get it open. But it won't happen. And that's why it's so important, even as Gary mentioned, that if there is an opportunity to let somebody know that there is a better way than the way that they're going on, take it. Use it. Explain it. It doesn't have to be a lot of words. It doesn't have to be and I'm speaking to myself here because it's not easy. But it doesn't have to be a whole bunch of words. It can be a matter of even treating somebody in such a way, even though you were treated wrong, but treating them in a way that God would have you treat them and have compassion and loyalty and love towards them, even though that they have wronged you. That alone speaks volumes. There's just so many other ways, but to actually say words and to ask for people to hear and to if not understand, at least hear a different message than the world speaks. Something that's so vitally important today. So then he goes on in verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Two-thirds of the way down that verse is one word there. As one word, and we need to all pay attention to it. Not necessarily in according to this verse, but in our lives. There's one word there. It's called obeyed. When God calls, when there's something that needs to be done, and it is put in front of you for you to do it, it needs to be obeyed. It needs to be done. Never mind the thoughts of, gee, what's somebody going to say? Never mind the thoughts of being laughed at, even as Noah was. Never mind the thoughts of, how do I go about doing it? Just obey. And in that obedience, God will provide. And he will create circumstances that will provide and will be fit for your obedience, so that you would be able to do what it is that he would have you do. Abraham Abraham had no idea where he was going. That's what makes it even more impressive for me, anyway. He had no idea what he was going to get into. He had no idea at all about where he was going and how he was going to get there. And he still obeyed. That's so vitally important. And he goes on, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs who were the heirs with him of the same promise. Isaac and Jacob went with him. His family went with him. And they did according to what God would have them do. Then in verse 11, he says, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I remember a discussion that was going on or that went on. I can't even give you any real specifics about it. But this verse was brought up, or this happenstance, or this what happened here. And it seemed as though there was at least one person, maybe more. I don't even remember who they were or anything else. But when you read that story in the Old Testament, it says that she laughed. And that was what they focused on. She laughed. Yeah, so? You mean to tell me that you wouldn't? We're talking about a woman who was way past the age of bearing children. And God comes down and says that you're going to have a child. I think a little giggle probably would be something that could be accepted, because she was dealing with the reality of what things are. Not what they were, not what they're going to become, how it's impossible or how is it possible. She was dealing with the human reality of that news. But she judged him. She received the strength to conceive and was delivered of a child when she was past age. Why? Because she judged him faithful who had promised. And that's what God is. That's where our attention needs to be focused. Not on the trivial things, not on the little things. We need to focus on the one who is faithful and the one who has promised what they are going to do. Because it will happen. He will do it. And he will do it according to his timing. And therefore sprang there up even one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in the multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. That's us. That's who this is being spoken of. We are the ones that are numbered as the stars in the sky or the sands of the sea. Because we are the believers in Christ. We are the children of God. We are part of that number that started with Abraham. The ones that God promised. And then he goes on, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They had not seen Christ yet. They had not seen their salvation as we have. We have it recorded in this book, and there were others that had seen it. They hadn't seen that yet. But they trusted by faith. They trusted that God would take care of them and he would do what it is that he would do. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. My grandfather's favorite song, or one of his favorite songs, is I am a pilgrim and I am a stranger, and I'll tarry but a night. It was one of his favorite songs. And that's the way these people were. They confessed to be strangers and pilgrims of this earth because they were not part of the earth. They were part of God's kingdom. They were part of his his domain or his dominion. They were part of his family, the same as we are part of his family even today. I heard a song last night, and it was very pointed. And there was one verse or one line, I guess if you will, or whatever it is you want to call it. And it said that I am accepted because you were condemned. That's the way it is. We are accepted because Christ did what God wanted him to do. Let's take that away this week and rejoice in the fact that indeed God does love us and he will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name, amen.